Something you probably do know. Progressive can not only offer you a great price when you bundle home and auto, they offer you round-the-clock protection. Something you probably don't know, a driveway basketball hoop, including the base, weighs around 400 pounds. Something you probably do know, there's a windstorm coming. Something you probably don't know, a basketball hoop tipping over can poke a hole in a car roof like a can opener. Bundle your home and auto with Progressive and get more than a great price. Get round-the-clock protection. Something you know for the things you don't know. Coverage from Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and third-party insurers and subject to policy terms. Bundle discount not available in all states or situations.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All righty, we're back. And you know, Joe, on Fox News, it seems like they split it in half. Those that are telling the truth and those that are not, you know. Those that are telling the truth, like Tucker Carlson, Jesse Waters, the little guy, what's his name? Gutfeld and Laura Ingraham, you know. But on the other side, you got those that are not, okay? Bret Baier, for example, when he tried to tell you there was no evidence of election fraud, Neil Cabuto, Susan Smith, and they knew. When they knew they were lying, you could tell the way they looked in that camera. They knew that. They knew that they were lying about that. You know, how they kind of look away. They knew it. They knew that they were lying. They knew that they were contracted to lie. They were doing, and they're told to do it now.
We know it's called a tell when you can look certain moves and gestures in psychology.
Right.
It's called a tell. It's the way people, you know, FBI profilers and people tell who's lying by their tells.
Right. Well, one of the ones that is, for the most part, has been telling the truth is, I think he's done a fairly good job, is Jesse Waters. And now he's got something to say here, too, tonight about the paperwork, you know, with Trump's paperwork scandal. So let's go to Jesse Waters.
Here at Primetime, we still have some questions about why the Fed stormed the house of Joe Biden's political opponent. Last night on Hannity, President Trump raised a pretty good point about the raid. Listen.
Under the Presidential Records Act, there's no retribution or prosecution. You're supposed to negotiate. We're talking about documents. We're talking about documents that actually are being watched over to a certain extent, and I would say to a large extent, by the Secret Service.
Trump's documents were stored in his home, guarded by Secret Service, and locked away. Now, I'm not a lawyer, and I'm definitely not a librarian. So I can't tell you every little step a president's technically supposed to take to move around his paperwork. But what I can tell you is what past presidents did and how they were treated. Let's start with President George H.W. Bush. His presidential records ended up in a strip mall, a store that used to house a bowling alley and a Chinese restaurant. Were bowling shoes commingled with top secret documents? I don't know. I'm not a national security expert, but if your storage room shares a parking lot with a Chili's and a JCPenney, is that secure? Who's to say? Then there's Bill Clinton. Where did he store his records other than his sock drawer? Secret underground bunker, remote military base? Nope. He sent his records to an abandoned car dealership in Little Rock, Arkansas. I'm sure Slick Willie had his fun in the back of a few Oldsmobiles, but it doesn't seem like the perfect place to store classified docs. What about George W. Bush? He stored millions of documents at some warehouse in Texas. Bush had an army of trucks and planes bring them across the country. They even had thousands of artifacts like Saddam Hussein's 9mm Glock. What about Obama? He's never done anything wrong. He must have had top-notch security at his facility. This is where he secured his documents. What's this building? Well, it is a defunct furniture store right across the street from a McDonald's. That'll definitely keep the Russians out. Look at that. Why a furniture store? Did Obama have his aides hide documents under mattresses while he and Michelle shopped for a new couch? Mar-a-Lago is a fortress crawling with Secret Service agents. All of a sudden, Trump sounds like he's handled records more responsibly than any president in the last 30 years. But H.W., Clinton, Bush, Obama, none of them got raided. The FBI didn't go through their wives' clothes. Why? Well, the Trump raid all started with a liberal librarian, David Ferriero. Remember him? On Inauguration Day, he was watching TV and saw Trump's entourage carrying some boxes into Marine One. Quote, I could remember watching the Trumps leaving the White House and getting off in the helicopter that day and someone carrying a white banker box and saying to myself, what the hell's in that box? Give me my box back. That's my box, and I want to know what's in it. He was an Obama appointee, and he loved Barry. Obama made him feel special, sent chills up his leg. He told the librarian his record keeping is just as important as anything else in the government.
We were fortunate that President Obama, in his open government initiative, recognized the importance of good record keeping. And in fact, he used a quote from us in his executive order that the backbone of open government is good records management. And we were just, you know, dancing in the streets when we got that attention.
Obama tossed your precious records in an old furniture store, buddy. Does he really care? But you didn't call the feds on him. It's only Trump who's guilty until proven innocent. And we have records that show that Barack Obama had classified documents in the furniture store and had to send them back to the librarian at the archives. Mike Davis is the president of the Article 3 Project and former Senate Judiciary Committee chief counsel. I don't think anybody knows about this, that they had strip malls with classified information from former presidents. Did you know that?
I did, but what it shows, Jesse, is there is a clear political double standard with Trump and a willful misunderstanding of the law, and they're using this willful misunderstanding of the law to get Trump. He has the absolute constitutional power as president to declassify anything he wants, and he has the absolute statutory power under the Presidential Records Act to take his records when he leaves office. And as you talked about, he went to the office of former president in Mar-a-Lago that happened to be where he used that as an office while he was the president. It was very secure. These records that he had never leaked for 18 months until the Biden Justice Department went down there and did this unnecessary, unprecedented, and unlawful home raid to get back these documents that didn't belong to them. And they have misrepresented the law to the courts, including to the 11th Circuit. And I hope President Trump files a new motion under Rule 41G of the Federal Rules of Criminal Procedure to get back all 11,000 of these records, including 100 documents marked classified that he clearly declassified.
Now, Trump says on Hannity that he can declassify a document just by saying it's declassified. Is that true?
Well, actually, that's not all he said. He talked about by ordering the documents to go to Mar-a-Lago, they're declassified. Now, that is exactly right, because that is what a 2012 Obama judge ruled when President Clinton had 8 years of audio tapes, 79 audio tapes of highly classified conversations in his sock drawer. So that is absolutely legally correct that by sending these documents to Mar-a-Lago, they are declassified.
So, Mike, I mean, just so the audience understands, Bill Clinton had tapes, classified tapes, that he hid in his sock drawer, and an Obama judge said, those are personal, you could keep them. No one raided the sock drawer. He kept all his tube socks and his all that stuff. Is that what we're dealing with?
I don't know if we want to look in a sock drawer, but that is exactly right. Those are personal records that he was allowed to keep under the Presidential Records Act. It didn't matter whether they were classified, and then that is exactly how the Presidential Records Act works.
Okay. All right. They wanted to go through Melania's drawers, not Bubba's. Very interesting. Mike, thanks so much. Good work.
Thank you.
All right. Very good. There you go. You won't hear that on NBC, ABC, or CBS, will you? Nope.
No, you're not going to hear that. And one of the other things you're not going to hear much. Do you remember a man named Carl Icahn?
Carl Icahn.
Mm-hmm.
The name sounds familiar.
Chairman of Icahn Enterprises. He's a very, very rich, man. And he has billions and billions in net worth. I can't remember, like $24, $25 billion. Anyway, he was a corporate raider on Wall Street way back in the 80s, and he's one of the most respected business minds. And he says the worst is yet to come for investors and those of us, you know, that have retirement plans or union plans. And he said he compares our inflation coming, what's coming, to the fall of the Roman Empire. And if you look at the other headlines that nobody's talking about, Europe is heading for deep recession, deindustrialization. Europe is ready to collapse. Europe's collapse will be the launch of the Great Reset. And I think I've got about 16 things here where they're all talking about Western Europe is facing total financial collapse. This winter, when there's no heat, no money to buy natural gas, they've already, you know, all the firewood around was already sold the last month or two ago. There's a lot of bad things coming, and like I said, if you look at some of the headlines on our major news, they're not talking about this horror that could be hitting. If Europe collapses, it's going to hurt us.
No, they won't. Look, they'll talk about what George Soros and the globalists tell them, here's what you're going to talk about. Will say this. Now, I truly believe this. I truly believe that right there in St. Louis, Joe, out there in your neck of the woods, or in Cleveland, or if those in charge there, the Soros and so, and they were to tell people on the local media, NBC, ABC, CBS, I truly believe this, that they were to say that St. Louis is going to get bombed. It's going to get nuked on Monday morning, and you've got the whole weekend to get out of town. Don't mention it to anybody, just your immediate family. Don't mention it to your friends, to your neighbors, so you can get out of town and move because we need you in another city. I believe they'd do it. I mean, they're contracted to liars. Now, every now and then, you have some of those in the mainstream media who say, no, I can't take it anymore. I just can't take it.
A little conscience attack, yeah, for some.
And they come out, and as soon as they start telling the truth, they get fired. They're taken out right away.
They're moved, but there's just so much. We have to, I guess the reason I'm trying to say this is not to scare people. There is much that can be done, but it would involve having the Republicans take over the Senate as well as the House. And they would be able to at least thwart Biden from being able to make things worse.
They would be able to impeach Biden, and they would be able to remove Biden because there's nothing but proof that this guy has committed high treason. Nothing but proof.
10% for the big guy. I mean, we've just done so many stories, but I guess the whole point is we've talked about how many of the Christians out there aren't registered to vote, that many of the registered Christians do not vote. They've been told to stay out of politics. The pastors, oh, politics is kind of dirty. We don't go there. We'll just preach the gospel. We don't get involved in politics. It's unchristian-like. When the devil is running the government, when the Antichrist system is controlling your children, brainwashing your children, allowing children to be aborted, allowing children to be mutilated and messed up their puberty and their growing up years where they have faced lifetime horrible medical consequences, pain, suffering. That is your business, and it is very much your business. God put you in a country where you have a right to go vote and elect. In fact, our founding fathers said you have the right as well as the privilege to elect Christians to represent you.
Well,
the Constitution, they made it very clear that we were a religious and moral people.
Yeah, before they did that, Joe, God said you have the charge. God has said you have the charge to do that. In other words, he tells you very clearly that resistance to tyranny is obedience to him.
Obedience to him.
Now, if you read a book called, it's in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 in Hebrews, is referred to as the heroes of the faith. If you read that and pay close attention, it tells you what we're supposed to be doing. Well, right now, let me tell you what we're going to do, what we're supposed to be doing, and we're going to drop a bomb, now, Hillary's been out there. She's back. Her and Slick Willie are back, and they've geared up. They've got their They're a very, very corrupt machine going again, the Clinton fundraising machine.
Political machine on the run again, huh?
Yeah, well, let's listen to a little bit. Let's go and see what the InfoWars has to say about Hillary. Already, it's coming. Get ready. It'll be there.
Live radio, folks. Live.
Can you imagine what damage has been caused to this country? You've seen it. You don't have to imagine it. And all of it was caused because dirty politicians like Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and Loretta Lynch and Eric Holder were so scared that their crimes were going to be exposed and prosecuted if Hillary Clinton didn't get into office that they launched a propaganda campaign, the likes of which we've never seen in the history of this country, to foment so much hatred and anger to a genocidal level against Donald Trump, hoping that that would protect them from being charged and investigated for all the crimes that they've committed. And you know what's sad? It worked. It worked. Because the mainstream media went along for the ride because they didn't want to be called a racist and they didn't want to be called a misogynist. And so they had to stand up for Barack Obama and they had to stand up for Hillary Clinton. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm calling a quick audible here because that new Biden video just dropped and we just did that segment covering Biden's creepiness. And then the crew is putting together a short compilation of Biden acting inappropriately towards little girls that we're going to air in the next segment. But so I'm going to sandwich that now with Obama's corruption. Corruption is treason. This is from MAGA1776.com. And this is just Barack Obama. They say scandal-free president. Well, you tell me scandal-free after this. What is Fast and Furious? Fast and Furious was designed to capture Mexican drug cartels in 2009 out of the Phoenix ATF office. Guns were sold to suspected criminals who were allowed to walk into Mexico without interference from agents with the intent of later tracing the guns. No attempts were made to trace the more than 2,000 guns. The guns were used to commit crimes in which Americans were killed, as well as the 2015 terror attacks at the Bataclan in Paris. The Obama White House used executive privilege to try to halt the investigation despite denial of involvement. Attorney General Eric Holder was charged with contempt of Congress. Hundreds of deaths have been linked to these guns. Guns funneled by the Obama administration resulted in murder. That's Operation Fast and Furious. Scandal-free, they say. What is Uranium-1? Rosatom, Russia's state atomic energy agency, purchased Uranium-1 in a series of three separate transactions from 2009 to 2013. Shortly after Rosatom announced their intention to purchase Uranium-1, Bill Clinton received $500,000 for a speech in Moscow from a Russian investment bank linked to the Kremlin that was promoting Uranium-1 stock. Despite having made an agreement with the Obama White House to disclose Clinton Foundation contributions while serving as Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton did not disclose a series of transactions totaling $2.35 million from Uranium-1 chairman to the Clinton Foundation during this time period. Uranium-1 shareholders would donate $145 million to the Clinton Foundation over the course of the company's sale. Ultimately, this granted Russia control of over approximately 20% of the United States uranium deposits. Remember that Russian collusion? Well, they were lying about Russian collusion with Trump, everybody covering Uranium-1. Remember that one? Remember that corruption from the Obamas and the Clintons? Maybe not, because the media covered it up. What is the Iran ransom payment? In January of 2016, Iran held five American prisoners. The Obama administration transferred $400 million in U.S. assets to Switzerland and other nations, which were converted to foreign cash, including francs and euros. American officials permitted Iran air officials to take control of the money and depart from Geneva only once the U.S. hostages were boarded and wheels up on their way home. The $400 million in foreign bills stacked into pallets were flown from Geneva to Tehran in an unmarked cargo plane. A further $1.3 billion was transferred in a series of 13 money transfers of $99,999,099 from the U.S. Treasury Department Judgment Fund. Each transfer was 1 cent less than the $100 million limit imposed on such transfers. Attorney General Loretta Lynch pled the fifth when questioned on this matter. Isn't that amazing? Trump pleads the fifth, liberal media freaks out. A Trump supporter in contempt of Congress, media freaks out. But when it's Holder and Lynch, nobody bats an eye. What is martyr transfer? Just before leaving office in 2017, President Obama authorized the discrete transfer of $227 million to foreign accounts. Of the funds, $221 million went to the Palestinian Authority, the self-governing Palestinian body established in 1994. The Palestinian Authority 2016 budget included $175 million for the care for the families of the martyrs, as well as $140 million reportedly allocated for prisoners, payments to prisoners and former prisoners. Obama just giving cash. Cold hard cash to Palestine. What is Obama slush fund? The Department of Justice under President Obama acquired billions of dollars from corporate settlements. As an example, a $1.2 billion settlement was made by Volkswagen. This money should have gone to the Treasury Department. Rather than be given out to the consumers it was meant for, $3 billion of this money was in turn funneled to left-wing activist groups like La Raza and the National Urban League. There is now compelling evidence to suggest this money was funneled through a series of steps to Hillary Clinton's 2016 presidential campaign, as well as Obama's Organization for Action. They stole your money. What is the TARP heist? The Troubled Asset Relief Program was a program in the late 2008 under President Bush through which the United States federal government purchased approximately $430 billion in troubled assets in order to slow the damage of the subprime mortgage crisis. In 2016, files were leaked from the Clinton Foundation, which contained much or all of the Democrat National Committee's internal fundraising documents. This suggests that the Clinton Foundation was a front organization for DNC fundraising efforts. Included in the DNC fundraising documents is an Excel file, which strongly suggests that big banks and corporations agreed to donate certain percentages of the allocated TARP funds to Democrats. Now, you may notice a common theme here. Obama stealing money and the Clintons stealing money. And when you understand that, you understand now a lot of the deep state crimes that were committed against Donald Trump in 2016. And it's really sad that Americans have been duped into such a radical hatred of Donald Trump. I mean, folks, it's a genocidal hatred that they have for Trump and his supporters. The brainwashing is so powerful. The propaganda is so powerful. It's turned these liberals into genocidal maniacs in their hatred of Trump. And the whole thing was derived because Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton were stealing money hand over fist. And so here's how it went. All of these politicians were dirty dealers. Now, Obama knew Clinton was a dirty dealer, and Clinton knew Obama was a dirty dealer, and they did a lot of dirty deals together. So when Obama's time was up, Hillary Clinton made sure that Barack Obama knew that, hey, I know all the financial crimes you've committed, and I'd hate for that to become a bigger issue. You better help me get into office. You better help me beat Donald Trump, or all of your financial crimes are going to be exposed. And so Obama, obviously obligated to protect his own self-interest with his financial crimes, said, okay, fine. We both did a bunch of financial crimes together when I was president. I'll help you beat Donald Trump for my own sake, because they weren't exactly the best of friends. So that's what happened. Barack Obama illegally spied on Donald Trump. They tried to frame and set up Donald Trump. And it was all because they were scared that if Donald Trump got into office, all of their crimes would be exposed, investigated, and perhaps even prosecuted. Now, none of that happened under Donald Trump, sadly. He said he would do it. He didn't. Probably his biggest failure as president was not taking care of the deep state. And now the deep state is worse than ever. That's a fair criticism of Donald Trump. But nonetheless, can you imagine what damage has been caused to this country? You've seen it. You don't have to imagine it. And all of it was caused because dirty politicians like Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and Loretta Lynch and Eric Holder were so scared that their crimes were going to be exposed and prosecuted if Hillary Clinton didn't get into office, that they launched a propaganda campaign, the likes of which we've never seen in the history of this country, to foment so much hatred and anger to a genocidal level against Donald Trump, hoping that that would protect them from being charged and investigated for all the crimes that they've committed. And you know what's sad? It worked. It worked. Because the mainstream media went along for the ride because they didn't want to be called a racist and they didn't want to be called a misogynist. And so they had to stand up for Barack Obama and they had to stand up for Hillary Clinton. And now, as we're about to hit the midterms in 46 days, the Clinton Foundation is back and John Podesta is back. And they're once again making money hand over fist. They got away with all of it, and Trump did nothing. Now, you notice, Democrats run on politically persecuting their opposition. Just look at Letitia James in New York City. Will a Republican ever step up and say, I am running to criminally prosecute the crimes committed by Obama and Clinton and Biden? And I bet if one did, they would win the election.
Alrighty, we are back, and let's, Joe, you know, what he said is true. This is, you know, he's exactly right. But you have to realize that, first of all, let's start with what he said about Trump failed. He failed to take out the deep state. Well, it's not that he didn't try, okay? He didn't realize just how deep it was, and he was in a snake pit. He was in a snake pit. They were, not only that, the fix was in, and whoever, you know, Bill Barr betrayed him. You had these people all around. Now, we don't know what the opposition used. We know that often what they'll do is they'll say, they'll come after you, and if you're not going to be bought, if you say, no, I'm not going that way, then they'll say, well, you know, you've got to, you know, your daughter's had these problems, or your son's had these problems, or your grandchild, and it would really be, bad if all of this came out, and people knew what was going on, or it's too bad if they wouldn't get that position, this and that, just because, you know, you didn't listen to us. And they do that. It's blackmail. They use blackmail and every kind of thing. This is why Chucky Schumer, when he threatened Trump, when he said, if you take on, you go ahead and you take on the intelligence agencies, they've got six ways of Sunday to get in you. Now, he knew how corrupt they were, how corrupt, and he knew that was already planning on that, because the FBI had really just become a part. They had become a strong arm, a bullying part of the Democratic Party. And he knew about the corruption. Look, as far as the CIA goes, President Reagan wanted to get rid of that. President Kennedy wanted to eliminate the CIA, and so did President Trump. Because they become an entity into themselves of corruption. And so Trump was, you know, we don't know what he was up against as far as the corruption. We do know he got betrayed every time he turned around, didn't he?
He definitely did. And then, of course, they were going after all these people like the general, Flynn, the people that he were picking, they went after, got tied up in courts and couldn't get approval. So a lot of things happened to him. If General Flynn had been able to get in, then a lot of things would have been different if several of the people he wanted would have gotten their positions. But that didn't happen because of the deep state.
They got the corrupt judicial, the courts, they got to them.
I don't think he saw that corrupt court coming.
No, he didn't. And so, anyhow, so there, and the other thing, too, because Trump gets a lot of criticism for pushing the vax, that, you know, getting it out there, and he's still, right now, he should come out and tell the truth about that. He, for some reason, of course, we don't know what it is he knows, but we do know that here.
I think some of those documents that they took had some of the proof that he needed, and that's why they had to go get it, personally.
Yeah. But see, Trump understood something. Under the Geneva Convention, you cannot force people to take a vax if it's experimental. If it's experimental, you cannot. That's under the Geneva Convention. Now, what happened? Trump knew that, and he knew that the vax was coming. He knew that it was going to happen, and if he tried to stop it, then the fake media, the fake news media was ready to pounce upon him. And so what he did is he said, well, if we bring out these experimental shots, the people cannot be forced to take them. Even our military, what our military did was they broke the Geneva Convention when they forced. And here's what Milley and Austin, who were there to destroy our military. They were there to weaken our military. And what they did, let me ask you this, Joe, are the brightest and the best in the military, are they going to be the people that know better than to take the poisonous poke, or are they going to be the ones to take the poisonous poke?
No, they're going to be the ones that say, no, no way.
And those were 60,000 of them right away when our military is hurting, okay?
And they're still not allowing for religious exemptions or anything of the kind, even now that we know that natural immunity is better, the shots don't work anyway, and actually the poison poke causes harm over and over and over, all these things. But they're still, because they're trying to cleanse the military and make it woke and make it a tool of the executive branch of the federal government. So they're doing it on purpose.
They're trying to,
that's the only answer why they're doing it.
They're trying to destroy our military.
Right.
They are literally trying to...
or make it weak enough they can control it. Instead of fearing the military, they are trying to make the military under their control, their own private army.
Well, that too was the same idea where you're right. And then on top of that, Abomination said, remember, we need a civilian army that's every bit as strong, as powerful as the military. And that's the whole point of
Obama wanted, right?
87,000 armed IRS agents. And the question, are you willing to shoot Christians? I mean, that's the point. So,
are you willing to shoot people, yeah.
Hang tight. We'll be back right after this.
Remember me, you're taking all my money. Remember me, you gave my job away. Remember me, or am I just a number? Who's white and straight and doesn't qualify for foreign aid? Remember me, I helped you get elected. But you haven't done one thing you said you'd do. Well, even though you'd rather not remember me, I'll remember you. Remember me, I served my country proudly. Remember me, I love the USA. Remember me, or am I just some bumpkin who you didn't think would notice the bounce checks and midnight rays? Remember me, I wrote you all those letters, thinking that you cared what I thought too. Well, even though you often just forget to remember, I'll remember you. I'll remember.
I'll remember.
In November.
In November.
As I step into the little booth, I'll remember.
All right, you hear that, you deathocrats, especially you, Jamie Raskin. You've been lying again, Congressman Raskin, you've been lying again. Anyhow, we'll talk about that later, but that was Carl Klang. Carl Klang was quite a patriot. He was a real patriot, a real Christian man. He had, and he went home to be with the Lord in January of 2019. But boy, what a talented fella he was. What a talent. He, all of his songs were great songs. So he was a real hero of the faith, too. Alrighty. We are going to, I think, open up the phone lines now, Joe.
Well, we've got a quick deja vu if we can.
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you remember Obama and Iran? Of course, you know, how he caved in and gave them, you know, money. And when there was a rebellion, how we were real quiet. The U.S. didn't say anything.
Yep.
When the people rose up. Well, right now, headlines, dozens dead, 1,200 arrested, as Iranian regime warns of decisive crackdown. They've cut the internet access and whatever. The people have been out there, many, many killed, 41 killed, and the people are protesting. There's been a lot of days now, I can't remember. They're risking their life. They're going up. They're trying to expel these mullahs. They're trying to take their country back. And what are they getting from Joe Obama? Same as they got from Obama Joe before, crickets. Instead of backing people, fighting to be free, giving up their lives in the street, fighting a very dangerous, evil regime, our government is silent again. And as a Christian, I can't help it. We need to be praying for those people, even though they're Muslim. They're fighting for freedom to make their own choices. And the Christian church needs to be praying for those that are resisting that evil regime.
All right. You're absolutely right. We have some calls, I'm sorry. Who did you say? Let's go, Ken in Boston. Ken's got a prayer request. Go ahead. Ken, you're in the air.
Oh. Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing okay. How are you?
Good, thanks. I talked to you guys about a month and a half ago. My wife works at MGH, and they were trying to – she was just going on maternity, and they were trying to fire her for not taking the booster shot and all that.
Yeah.
You guys prayed for us. We really appreciated it. They ended up – her boss, who's a lesbian, which it's interesting, but God used her to get my wife's position, the exemption extended until after the baby was born. So praise God for that. The maternity was, everything went through. Baby's good. But now that runs out in a couple of days. And just asking.
They're going to make her take the vax to go back to work, right?
Well, yeah, and she still got 12 weeks left on her maternity. And now it's basically like, you know, well, after 8 weeks, it goes to the state to pay you. So I guess even if she gets terminated, she gets paid. But they're just like, you know, we're going to terminate you beforehand so that you don't have a job afterward.
Well, you know, Ken, what's happening now, they're turning that around. Our people, our side, are getting, they're winning lawsuits all over the country.
You saw that in Illinois, right?
Yeah, all over. They're winning these lawsuits.
All right. Yeah.
A lot of these nurses.
Stick with it.
So I would get yourself a good lawyer. And go after them big time. There are Christian lawyers out there to handle these cases. Go after them. You need to go after them.
Yeah, Liberty Counsel is the one that did the Illinois, the big one, the $10 million one.
Yeah.
But, so they're, like, playing petty with, like, the forms. Like, you know, we're putting in the religious exemption form. And, you know, I put it in wrong at first, my fault. And then they get back to me, and I tell them, you know, I sent them your letter, so thanks for that. And then they, you know, asked for the reason why, you know, you took the first one, because she took the Johnson, just, it was, you know. And so, oh, you took the first one. What in your religion makes it so you can't take the second one? You know. And
well,
so it's basically like, well, I don't want this poison in my body, and, you know, it might have been a sin against God to do it in the first place, but now, you know, we repent about that, and we don't want any more of it. The end.
Right. Well, again, you know, first of all, those things, they're not, first of all, you can sue on the fact that they're not actually vaccines. So, you know, they're right. Pushing, they're calling it a vaccine when they're not, when it's not a vaccine.
Right.
And so, but again, like I said here, we had a number of people that got our religious exemption forms and wrote me back and let me know it worked, that they put the forms in and their company took it. And so, in fact, I got several asked me if I would call and talk to certain people And, you know, when I did that, I told them, I said, you know, that is their religious exemption. You are open for a lawsuit, just so you know what you're doing. You're violating these people's rights here. And not only that, okay, but letting them know that that is even against the Geneva Convention. And so many of them have backed off. I think, what was it? What was it? Southwest Airlines? Which one of the airlines that just said, forget it, we're just not going to do it?
Mm-hmm. I don't remember.
Yeah, well, you got to stand up.
Military's backing down, too. The Navy's quietly rolling it back. I was reading. If you look it up, Navy's quietly rolling it back. It's interesting. I don't know. We're going to stand our ground. And they didn't deny her yet. They said, you know, get your reason in. I don't know if it's for paperwork reasons or you will be denied by Wednesday. So it's like, I guess we just say, you know, how personal can I get with you? Like, why you don't want the second shot after you took the first shot? And, well, you know, like, what in your religion's allowing it now, you know, or not allowing it now? Like, I don't know what to say, so please pray for wisdom on what to say. And if not, I'm just going to, regardless if she loses her job or not, we're still going to get a lawyer.
Well, I mean, that's like, say, look.
This is the job, I mean.
Yeah.
Get a lawyer.
Here's what I would tell him. Look, I realize what I did by taking the first shot was a sin. And I realize now that was a sin, okay, a sin of commission. And I don't want to add to that sin, okay? It's called, this is what I'm doing, is called repentance. And what I did, it could harm me, and it's against my faith. Okay, so, that's like, I mean, you know, it's not really complicated. She knows what she did was wrong to do that. In fact, I've had several people tell me that I took the first shot, but I'm glad I heard you on the program. I'm not going to take another one. And so more and more of them are doing that. This is about killing people. It's about killing people. So, all righty. Well, thanks for the call. We'll keep her in prayer. In fact, Joe, what's your wife's name? Okay, what did he do?
You dropped off. You want to do a prayer for her, but you didn't get the name, right?
No, well, no, it's Ed. His name was Ed, right? What was his?
Right.
Ken. His name was Ken. Go ahead, Joe, and pray for Ken's wife.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we heard the voice of someone who's frustrated, upset, maybe a little frightened, angry. You can tell the emotions. He cares about his wife, his family. And willing to, you know, wanting to stand for the truth and defend his family. And Lord, that we would just ask that you would bless this couple, this family, that you would watch over them, Lord, that you would protect them, that you would help them defend themselves and the right values, that you would put that hedge of protection around them and see that they come out triumphant, and that by standing their ground and in Jesus' name, that they will be the triumphant, that they will win, that the evil will lose. And we just put it in your hands, precious Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Joe. I hope people were praying with you. All right, let's go to Judy. Judy, you're in the air.
Hi,
hello,
Pastor. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay, Judy. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm not going to talk long. I just wanted to tell everyone the reason why Trump backed the vaccine. It was in his briefing when Dr. Fauci said that they would not have a vaccine for 2 years. And Trump, we cannot keep the country locked down for 2 years. So that's the reason why I think they called it warp speed. That's the reason why he put together a team of, I guess, doctors or scientists or whoever came up with the vaccine. He put that team together so that they can come up with that vaccine to open up the country, because the Democrats were going to keep it shut down for 2 years, and that's the reason why he did that.
Well, that, yeah, that's part of it. The other thing too, he knew that again that they could not force you. And the idea was our military could not force our soldiers to take that, and they violated our Constitution. They violated the Nuremberg. Now they know this, that there's a group of about 500 international lawyers that want to hold Nuremberg trials. Okay, and they've already come out and they've said they want Fauci. They want to put Fauci and that Brits and all of these others on trial. For war crimes, and the Democrats know this. They know that if they win that, they lose that election, and they know after what they did to all the people on the January 6th, the Oath Keepers, and what they did, they know that. They know if they lose the elections, they're out of power. They either got to leave the country, or they're going to jail. They're going to prison after what they did to our people. And this is why I'm telling the people out there, well, I'm going to tell you, listen, if you will not register to vote, if you're eligible to vote and you will not register, you call yourself a Christian, I don't even want to look at you. I'm so ashamed. I am so ashamed of you. Okay? You got no right to call yourself a Christian.
I just want to say this, but Trump didn't demand people to take it. He left it up to us. It was a choice. And the other thing is, I heard some doctor on the radio saying that when they are trying to force you to take these vaccines, that you need to know that law, Nuremberg law, that's what you call it?
Nuremberg,
you need to
yeah.
Know it. Yes, and he said you need to present that to the doctor.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
Thank you very much, Judy. Okay, very good. Ryan, you're in the air. Go ahead.
Hi. This is my reasoning here, and you touched on it a few minutes ago. If all our efforts to recall people aren't going anywhere, like in Michigan, we had to unlock Michigan to recall the governor, and nothing happened because the judicial is so corrupt. Why don't we go after the judicial? We call them first so we can get something done, or you can't do that.
It's for two reasons, Kay. The judicial depends on, you know, they're either elected or they're appointed. And, the federals, they're appointed. And so when you have corrupt people, they're going to appoint corrupt judges. And
you know, can't get anybody to hear anything because they're corrupt. They won't hear the recall things. They won't hear anything because they're corrupt.
Well, no, you're going to look, once you get right now, we're in a position, if we get take back the House and take back the Senate, they can take these cases. They can go right by. They can go right by the Department of Justice. It's totally corrupted. And they can remove them, okay, through judicial order. But they can take the cases right to the U.S. Supreme Court, where right now we have an advantage at this time on that court. But these people should be.
I don't know state government or I don't. But just if we wanted to remove our Michigan court justice, so they're not. You can't do that.
You can. You can. You have to if you have a recall petition. And you have enough votes on there. But the problem we have with your corrupt courts is getting by for them to say, well, these are good votes or these are bad votes, like they did here in Ohio. For example, you had a fellow running for as an independent for governor here in Ohio. And we had him on the radio program here. And what they did, because we had a rhino on Ohio Supreme Court, the fix was in. The fix was in, okay? And what happened was they said, well, the signatures on the touch screens and the signatures on the ballot cards don't match. Well, you know, when you go in, I don't know if you voted on those touch screens, But people just take their finger and they just rub it against there. I mean, they know you can't write a good signature on that. And so what happens is, no, they're not going to match. They're not. There ain't no way in the world they're going to match, okay? What you do with your finger and what you do with a pen, right? And so, but we're out of time. But listen, thanks for calling, but we have to move on, okay? Joe, you know what time it is?
It's time to give an invitation.
It certainly is. And, well, you know what I'm going to say here. Here you go, Joe. Heaven or hell, which one will you choose? Now, Joe, if you're going to go to heaven, the Bible teaches that many seemingly very good people are going to hell. That's what the Bible says, okay?
Right.
Because
people do not want to believe that.
Because all have sinned, yeah. Romans 3:23, I've had people tell me, well, I think I've done more good than bad. That won't get you to heaven. But there's not a just man upon earth that doeth good and not sinned. Ecclesiastes 7:20, sin hath a price. The Bible states that the soul that sinneth, it shall die, Ezekiel 18:4. For the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. Now, you might be wondering, what happens to people who die in their sin? Well, the Bible teaches that it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. We find that over where? In Hebrews 9:27, right?
Right.
And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 20:15. That's very, very real. If there any hope, yes, God sent his only begotten Son, that the Lord Jesus, into the world to pay the penalty for your sins. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16, familiar verse now. But God commanded his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sins. Now the Bible tells us that God desires to save everyone. That God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. And Jesus said, him that cometh to me, I will in no way cast out. John 6:37. So do you want to be saved? The Bible teaches that there are several things you must do in order to be saved. One, you must, again, we always talk about this, you must pray to the Father, okay? And the first thing you got to do, though, is realize there's nothing you can do to make yourself worthy of heaven, not by works nor by righteousness, which we have done according to his mercy, saved us. And that's in Titus 3:15. But the bottom line, it all comes down to this, that Jesus made it simple. He did the heavy lifting. He did for us what we could not do, never do for ourselves. He was the only one that could have done it. He was the only one that could provide a perfect sacrifice, which was required. Two, he tells you, pray to the Father. Pray to the Father in the name of the Son and ask for forgiveness of your sins. That's called repentance. Two, ask the Lord Jesus to be the Lord of your life, all of your life, without any reservations. And then you will be indwelt by the Holy Spirit, a new creature, a born-again believer, and you'll be on your way to eternity. You've got God's word on that. And we're out of time for tonight. So, Joe, until tomorrow, good night. God bless.
God bless.
And always, always
keep
fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.